Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakiai. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. So as we're going through this re-spiking and numbers and second or third shutdown, depending on where you are, I find that people are becoming more introspective, and I actually think that that's a good thing. Recently, I was playing golf at the end of the season up at Goodwood in Toronto, where I play with Dr. David Greenberg, who's not only my doctor, but is a good friend of mine. I never play better golf than when I play with David. I don't know what it is. It's like a zen-like feeling. But on this particular day, what was kind of interesting was we were talking about a rabbi that he had met. He had said to him, tell me about yourself and what you do in 8 words or less. He said, if you can do it in 6, that would be great. Anything less than 6 would be sort of miraculous. And, you know, David's one of those people that believes that medicine is a noble profession, that helping people get better and making them live longer and, you know, very sort of deep, soulful experience about being a doctor. And as we were talking about why he doesn't make more money by doing a concierge service, and David said, it's not about that. I do well, but it's not about the concierge service. He said, I want to have the patients I want, and I want to be there for them. But, you know, I determine that now. And he said, if I have a concierge service, then I'm beholden to everybody, to their timetable, and when they want to see me and not. And I was thinking sort of about myself, and then kind of got me thinking about other things. And I thought, 8 words or less. And so I thought, to describe my business, I make people better and believe in themselves. Don't know if that's less than 8, but and at the core, that's what I do. I spend my life coaching people, doing podcasts, trying to help people be better themselves, to think about things that can help them be better. And then I sort of thought, I'm going to go down a vein here. Then I sort of thought, isn't it interesting that my success is based upon being successful at making people better at what they do and feeling better about themselves? And at the end of the day, getting promoted or not getting promoted, but just feeling like they're making a bigger contribution in life to whatever they're doing, feeling like they're in the sweet spot of their day, matching their skills with their company. And they all know, all of the people that I coach, that when I sit down at the table, I have one objective, is for them to get better. And I am the beneficiary of that in the end by making them successful. And my producer, Katie's the same way. You know, her job is to make me sound great, make me better than I thought I could be at doing these podcasts. Tell me when she doesn't think something resonates or when she really likes something. And then I thought, you know, let's expand upon that thinking. You know, if you think about it in sports analogy, you know, people like Wayne Gretzky, probably the greatest hockey player ever to play the game, you know, while he took great pride in being a prolific scorer, on a number of occasions I'd heard him say, you know, he took greater pride in being a prolific assister of goals, always setting other people up. One of his great skills was not just goal scoring, but putting himself in a position to set his teammates up to score, to using his skills to enhance their success. At that moment of, do I take the shot for myself or do I pass it to someone else and they get the goal? In baseball analogy, while home runs and batting averages are important, one of the things that people look at all the time is runs batted in with men on base. Can you help your teammates by getting them home when they're on base and you're up at the plate? And this whole thinking is kind of bringing me down to a new line of thinking, and not socialistic in its sense, but what if we could help organizations create a category within their evaluation to pay people based upon, you know, not their entire evaluations because you have to have production and everything else, but how much have you contributed to your coworkers' success? Because, you know, in most cases, in most corporations, people's success is based upon them stepping over or outperforming, but really sort of selfishly thinking about themselves in a win-lose type of situation. But if we change that thinking, if we turn that thinking about we all have a responsibility on other people getting better at what they do, not just the boss sort of mentoring, you know, every organization's got these mentoring, who's this mentor, who's that mentor. Those people are kind of there to listen to you. But I'm talking about more widespread, right? How do we, not to sort of coin them, how do we create a pandemic of kindness? How do we create a movement of people looking at other people within the team of people they work with, within the group of people that they work with, and think to themselves, you know, that person's over there struggling, you know, I can probably help them and sort of go over and help them. Now, I'm assuming everybody's going to take the help, but there will be people that will say kind of like, piss off, I don't really need your help, thanks very much, but I'm okay. But I think approach properly and genuinely and sort of say, you know, I have some advice and I think I could help you. And don't make the advice critical as in, you know what you're doing wrong. Take it in the positive light, you know. You have to help people find the best way for them. And I was in a long road trip and I was sort of wondering how much more productive would a company be? How much more productive if we said to people, we're going to take 10% of your compensation and it's going to be determined by how helpful you are to other people within your group. And we're going to quantify that by creating a system where, you know, when you do help someone else, someone recognizes it and we keep track of it. So it sort of, you know, led me full circle to what I'm doing. And I sort of thinking that there is no promotion for me. There's nothing, I'm not sort of aspiring to be the head of this or the head of that. I aspire to be, you know, constantly utilized by people that need my help. But it was sort of a different kind of thinking for me that I'd really never thought about it that way, that my reward is clearly tied to the success of the people that I coach. So think about it. Think about it in your workforce. Think about looking around and just, you know, this pay it forward little bit. Who can I help? You know, whose day can I impact? And I think what you'll find is, you can have a big impact on a lot of people. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned to people that I was looking forward to listening to the book by Fareed Zakaria, 10 Lessons in the Post-Pandemic. So I've been in the car a lot lately, and I had the audiobook on, and if you haven't read it, if you haven't listened to it, it's absolutely outstanding. But it kind of breaks into two pieces. The first half of the book is a historical perspective on governments, people, industrialization, just sort of like how we got to where we got to. But the second part, to me, was really fascinating because it talks about this moment in time and going forward. And the two things that probably stood out the most to me was the acceleration of digitalization. And in the book, he talks about how this and AI, which I'll come back to and talk a little more in a bit, will probably have the most profound impact on our lives, similar to the industrialization revolution, in that those two things will completely change the way we work, where we work, and how we work, and whether we work at all. How we're retracing ourselves. If you think prior to industrialization, most people worked at home, you know, they were craftsmen or farmers and everything else. And then this big move to the cities, you know, post-Second World War, factories, people moved to where the jobs were. And what has happened as a result of the pandemic is that we're now reversing that order and that people are working back at home. Digitalization aspect is accelerated probably by at least 10 or 15 years. You know, we used to go to a grocery store. We used to go to watch our movies. We used to go to restaurants. Well, all that stuff comes to us now. So much of it was what's happening as a result of digitalization, what it's allowing us to do with our lives, right? Thinking about our work, as I've talked about, how the world is changing in terms of a driverless society, you know, won't need people. I've been doing some work this, he didn't talk about this, but looking at vertical farming and how vertical farming is going local, growing like weed did, marijuana, 24 hours a day in warehouses. And if you look up vertical farming and you look at some of the YouTube videos on it, it's completely machine run. It does everything by machine. People and the people they have working there are highly skilled biologists or scientists or engineers, but there's no production people there. So it's just a fascinating look at the world. The biggest jobs and the biggest transformations going forward will be in medicine and medicine related. He was saying that telehealth, you know, whereas people would never have thought of getting their advice from their doctor by phone, since the pandemic started, there's been 1 billion telehealth sessions. Great for doctors. They're actually making more money because they are now getting paid for the phone calls that they weren't getting paid for before. The CEO of Apple said that he believes one of Apple's greatest contributions will be through their health app. The fact that their watches and everything else will be able to monitor people's heart and other signs. And all of this is occurring because of digitalization. Think about it in your own world where it's changed your life. I mean, I know I'm thinking about it in terms of, okay, where do I invest? And what are those companies that are at the forefront of this? And as fascinating as that whole digitalization was, it was the AI discussion that I hadn't really thought about. I mean, this is going to be a game changer. This will probably have the most profound effect upon employment, universal income, and, you know, creating flex jobs, shortened weeks, what will happen to society, what will happen to people's identity. So I don't want to steal Fareed's book, but if you get a chance to listen to it, if you get a chance to read it, it's about a 7-hour listen. It's really, really good. I find I'm a voracious learner. I love to learn. And this definitely was up with those books that really sort of blew the top of my head off. All right, so the last thing I want to talk about today, you know, all good things come in threes, etiquette. Business, personal, professional, etiquette. What is it with people that don't return emails? You know they get them. I know inherently, as Katie said to me, you know, by not returning your email, they're basically giving you the big F you. But I just think that it's just bad etiquette. It's just bad, bad etiquette. My wife does real estate as well. And she, you know, recently flew down from, you know, a month ago, a client of hers from Chicago, who happens to be a good friend of her brother's, said, my wife and I are going to be down. We're looking for a house. You know, we'd like to look at some houses. So, you know, Jennifer flew down, showed them a stack of houses, met with them, drove them around. So, you know, then started the normal follow-up email text chain, and this guy is ghosted her, doesn't return anything. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, listen, we've changed our mind, we're not going to do anything, or don't call us, we'll call you. But just something, people, just have some common courtesy, right? People get it. People understand. If you don't want to deal with them, just tell them you don't want to deal with them. Be honest about it. But, you know, don't force them to be borderline stalkers. You know, there's nothing worse. I can't stand it myself because, you know, you also wonder, did it go to John? Did they get the email? So I kind of give people the benefit of the doubt. It's really remarkable, though, when you send an email and it sort of says, you know, not trying to stalk you, but trying to understand whether it went to junk, please let me know. Some people, that one gets through, or some people then go, oh, it did go to junk. I'm okay with that. And I'm okay if you don't want to talk to me. But what's really not okay is to just ghost people. It's rude. Like, I don't know how your parents raised you, but it's just rude and you shouldn't do it. I go through my emails at the end of the day. I sometimes go back weeks in case I missed one, and I'll send someone something and say, hey, listen, you know, really sorry. This one slipped off the radar. But definitely if I get a second one from someone said, hey, did you get the one that I sent you? I say, yeah, I did. And my bad, I didn't get to it. I let it slip. It's just a small thing to do. And it makes people feel good that at least you're acknowledging. And it takes them out of that craziness themselves of trying to figure, well, why isn't he or she returning my email? And, you know, people always say, well, you know, I guess the not returning is the message. Well, that's just a shitty way to do it. When you break up with your girlfriend, what, do you just stop showing up? You stop calling? You get a divorce? Do you just like not show up at home one day? Of course not. You tie off loose ends. You do the thing that is the right thing to do. I had a client do this late September. I was a new client. I was trying to do some work, and they sent me a note back and they weren't responding. And finally, they sent me a note back and said, listen, we're incredibly swamped. Please contact us the first week of November. Awesome. Fantastic. That's great. So it's off the shelf. Put it in my calendar. I'm going to send them an email first week of November. Do yourselves a favor. Don't be one of those people that people talk about that you don't return emails. Be polite. Human beings deserve politeness, especially from the people that are trying to help you. It's just a terrible habit. And personally, I think it's getting worse as time goes on. By the way, those people that ghost you, what always galls me beyond anything is they're the first ones to call you or email you when they need some help. Folks, wake up. Answer your emails. Answer your phone calls. Respond. And for goodness sakes, if you've ghosted someone, have some backbone not to call them for help after you've ghosted them. Think about who's on that list for you. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. I'm Jim Bakiai. The podcast is Be You. The world will adjust.